Hello, my name is True Crime is a weekly podcast where we bring you a new true crime episode every Tuesday. Some material may not be suitable for a sensitive audience, so listener discretion is advised. Hey guys, welcome back. My name's Kayla.
My name's Travers.
Yeah. New year. It's the new year. New year, new me. Who dis?
I don't know who dis is. Who is dis?
Who dis? Who dis?
I know that I'm not very pumped about this new year. In fact, expletive deleted, blah, 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 curse, 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 cuss, cuss, cuss. I'm just not digging it.
Wow. That's nice.
This year can suck it.
So today we're going to do something a little bit different. I know I say that every time, but we're going to bring you a survivor case. I thought that would be kind of interesting to kick off the new year with. I'm a survivor. I'm not going to give up.
I had a different song stuck in my head until you sang that, and then it just made me go completely blank.
With that said, let's just jump in.
That was supposed to be the imitation of someone jumping into a pool.
So, you know, there's nothing more exciting than when you're getting ready to graduate high school. You're, you know, preparing to say goodbye to your friends you've known for many years. The Friday night football games are ending. You're ready to ditch that super awkward stage you're in and move on to bigger and better college life. What? You're starting to make your own set of rules for yourself. And, you know, you're starting your plan for the future. But what if that long-awaited time in your life is brought to a screeching halt and you're just completely forced to fight for your life? Well, that's, you know, kind of what this story is all about. On May 23rd, 2000, in New Philadelphia, Ohio, it's about 70 miles from Cleveland. It's a fairly small town there.
New Philadelphia. I was born and raised on the playground. Sorry.
There's roughly about 17,400 people, and in the year 2000, I think it was just above 17,000 people. So it is fairly small. Teens Brandy Hicks and Elizabeth Reiser, Elizabeth preferred to go by Liz. The two were getting ready for their high school graduation and decided to have one last sleepover before it all ends.
Couldn't they have sleepovers, like, still? Like, you know, beyond?
Oh, I'm sure they could, but I mean, unless they're moving off to different colleges and so on and so forth.
Good point.
After attending Brandy's choir banquet at the Buckeye Career Center, they decided to head into Hollywood Video. I don't think there are any video stores anymore.
No, I'm pretty sure red boxes and streaming have pretty much done taken away over with that great, great, fantastic dinosaur.
Yeah. The Hollywood Video is located in the Newtown Mall, so they were going to go in and grab a few movies for their girls' night in, just chilling in. On the way to the video store, they chatted about the typical teen girl things, you know, the excitement of graduation, their plans for college, and, of course, what movies or videos they were going to pick for the night. Normally, the pair wouldn't really be out on a school night, but since it was just a few days until graduation, and they had both finished up their semester, their parents allowed Liz to go ahead and spend the night at Brandy's house. The girls, though, were completely unaware of what was to come that night. After they grabbed a few movies, they headed out of the video store to Brandy's car, where they were approached by a man wearing a baseball cap with dark curly hair curling out around the sides. He was described as a polite man, as he asked if they could drop him off down the road. The 27-year-old father of three, Matthew Vaca, told the girls that his car had broken down and he needed a ride home. He even offered to give them $20 to take him about a mile away. Both Brandy and Liz had, you know, a pretty odd feeling about the situation, and Liz even vocalized this to Brandy, telling her that she was uncomfortable, but after discussing it, they decided to go ahead and give him a ride. And I know that is, like, a super
dumb move.
Yeah, like, it just doesn't happen anymore. But, you know, even back in 2000, I still think people were kind of giving with that sort of thing. I remember back around that time frame, like, one of my friends, her dad would definitely, like, pick people up along the road that was, like, hitchhiking.
Absolutely.
I remember that back then. Like, it was so crazy. But nowadays,
no way,
you absolutely
hell.
Would not, nope. Yeah, not do anything like that.
I'll tell you what those girls should have said, and anybody who's listening, remember this. If somebody asks you for a ride and they even offer you money, tell them if they want to ride with a stranger, they can call a taxi.
Uber.
There's Ubers, too.
Uber app.
Let the Uber driver get murdered instead, you know? I mean, he could have asked anybody else.
Oh, absolutely.
Chose two young teenage girls.
Right, exactly. So both girls had always been taught to do the right thing and to help others when they were in need. So with it being a small, safe town, and, you know, he looked like a nice, normal guy, they decided to go ahead and give him a ride. Then at around 9:30, all three climbed into Brandy's car and headed out of town. What was supposed to be a few-minute drive had turned into a 15 to 20-minute drive out of their way, and it was starting to get pretty dark at this point. Brandy started to get super uneasy and asked him how much further, and he told the girls, you know, it's not too much farther, just, you know, around the bend a little ways.
Mm-hmm. He was probably saying it's not that far, it's not too much further, like, every time they
exactly.
asked.
Exactly. That's pretty much what was happening. So Brandy decided to go ahead and pull over and told him that since it was close, he could just go ahead and walk the rest
Smart.
Of the way.
Nice.
Exactly.
Nice.
She told him that, you know, they were young, they had to get home, their parents are going to be upset. You know, the typical, like, I just want to get out of this situation, I'm going to give you any excuse. But
no
at the
shit.
Same time, it was true. This is when Matthew told the girls that he had a gun, and he asked them if they had any money. And at this point, the girls were just petrified.
Right. Did he pay them already?
No.
Okay,
he hadn't
I was
going to
say.
Mm-mm.
It's kind of weird.
Nope. And, you know, the girls were like, we don't have any money. They're teens. It's
yeah.
not like they're carrying around,
Jesus
like,
Christ.
Wads of cash.
What an idiot.
Yeah. He then told them to pull back out. Mind you, he's got a gun. He told them to pull back out onto the road and to follow his directions. As they drove a few more miles, both girls just fearing what was about to happen. Finally, after driving miles out of town, Matthew told them to pull over into kind of like a turnoff alongside of the road. And it's not like they could call for help. And they really had no choice but to follow his instructions because people didn't really carry cell phones back then. I mean, cell phones were a thing, but not everybody had them like they do nowadays.
Right. This was more of the blockier, like, flip phone deals and
right.
the extendable antennas.
Mm-hmm.
No color screen, no touch screen.
Like the old Nokias, yep.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the bricks.
Yeah, and they didn't have cell phones, so.
Yeah.
The thing about Matthew was that he wasn't a nice guy. He was actually on probation for forgery and grand theft auto. When he seen the girls in Hollywood video, he made the decision that he was going to rob them and fabricated the lie that his car had broken down so that they would allow him to get in the car with them. So he definitely planned this whole thing on like a whim. He seen them and he was like, yeah, I'm going to rob them.
Quick question, though. I noticed you said father of three. Mm-hmm. Is that factual information or
yes.
is that something? Okay, I was going to say, or is that something he... fib to the girls
no,
about to
no,
be like,
he's
dad.
A father of three. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
If you're ever in a situation like that and the person says they have a gun, I know this is going to sound really weird, but ask them if you can see it.
He was waving it around.
Okay.
He actually pulled it out.
Okay. Because from what I understood was that he said he had a gun. You know,
no, he was
okay.
actually
right,
like
okay,
holding
well,
it out. Yeah.
Never mind.
Once they got the girls to the secluded area, he told Brandy to stop and put the car in park. He then instructed both girls to take their shoelaces from their shoes, and he had Liz tie Brandy to the steering wheel before he checked to make sure that it was tight enough so that she couldn't move. Matthew then climbed out of the car and started walking around to the passenger side. At this point, understandably, the girls were both terrified and crying. Liz had reached over and held Brandy's bind hands and told her that she loved her. Brandy reassured her friend that they would get out of this and see each other again as the man pulled Liz from the car and led her up the hill. Brandy, still tied to the steering wheel and unable to escape or start the car back up, watched fearfully as her friend was led away and out of sight. That would be fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine being bound like that and not having any ability to help your friend or get out of the situation at all?
Dude, ugh. I don't know.
This guy's an asshole.
Yeah, and that's when you got to think on the fly, too. Like, if you can tie, if you're forced to tie up your buddy or your friend and it's dark, you should tie it so it's nice, tight, and snug. But make sure that you do a bow knot out of sight so he can't see it. And then tuck the strand into their hand so they can pull it. So when he goes to check it, it's going to feel tight. It'll tighten up a little bit more. But then as soon as he walks away, she can untie it.
Yeah. So minutes later, Matthew returned to the car alone and started to open Brandy's door when he yelled at her to get out of the car. At this point, she's just furious with the whole situation and ended up yelling back at him because she couldn't move because her hands were tied. He's an idiot. Brandy soon realized that he had a knife when he quickly used it to cut the laces free. He grabbed her and started leading her up the hill towards where he had led Liz. Once they reached the top of the hill, Brandy began to understandably look for Liz. But this is when Matthew grabbed her face and completely pulled her the opposite direction, but not before she noticed a pile of dirt packed up in a mound, and this is when she realized that this is where Liz's body was. We want to take a second to thank our sponsors. Listen to some of your favorite shows ad-free with Stitcher Premium, like Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend, My Favorite Murder, Science Rules with Bill Nye, and more.
Plus, get access to Stitcher Originals, bonus episodes, comedy albums, and more. Only $4.99 a month or $34.99 a year.
Go to stitcher.com/premium to sign up today and use promo code
Hello, my name is for 1 month free on your monthly plan.
He had led Liz up the hill where her throat was cut after she had been stabbed so many times that the knife had broke. Once she turned and looked back at Matthew, she noticed that he was covered in blood, and this pretty much just confirmed what she already figured by seeing the mound of dirt piled up. He then grabbed her arms and yanked her back down the hill and shoved her in the car. And he is so fucked up. While they're driving down the road after Brandy witnessed this, he pretty much just again starts playing mind games with her and tells her, you know, I killed your friend. And when she didn't really respond because she's in complete and total shock, he's like, oh, well, I just wanted to see, you know, what your reaction would be. Like,
really?
He's a fucking monster.
Yeah, no shit.
What do you expect her reaction? I mean, really, there's only a few different reactions you could even expect. Either screaming, hysterically crying, or just complete shock of witnessing what she just seen, you know?
Or crazy rage.
Yeah, true. That too. Yeah, I mean, he's so disgusting. But it didn't really stop here either, because then he told Brandy that he had only been joking, and in fact, Liz was just fine, and he had let her go and told her the way back to where they came from. And, you know, at this point, Brandy's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, is Liz alive? Did he really let her go? And then, of course, she's like, why does he still have me? Like, what's going to happen? It's like total mind games at this point, you know? And unfortunately, this was just all a part of the game he was playing with her, because in all reality, Liz was actually dead because he had murdered her up on the hill.
Wasn't corn syrup all over him.
Yeah. So after driving a few more miles, he finally put the car in park near a riverbank that was in an isolated area. There was not a soul around. No houses, no cars, no nothing. And you got to remember, at this point, it's pitch blackout because it's close to 10 p.m. So after he got Brandy out of the car, she decided to pretty much just pull out the only tactic she could use at this point. And she started to be friendly to Matthew because he started asking her questions about her life, her friends, her boyfriend, and thinking that this could be a way for him to pretty much see her as a person rather than a victim. She was answering each one of his questions in detail, and suddenly he pretty much just snapped back into reality, and he didn't want to hear a single word she had to say anymore. He didn't want to know nothing about her life. He began to ask her how bad she wanted to live and what she was willing to endure to survive. Once they reached the bridge rails, he told her to remove all of her clothes, and Brandy tried to refuse, but Matthew threatened to kill her that very second if she didn't comply with him. And this is where he proceeded to rape her on the bridge. Fucking motherfucker. After he sexually assaulted her, Matthew led her over toward a nearby railroad track that was still along the river and forced her to kneel down in front of the railing, as if she were pretty much kneeled down in like an execution style. Almost immediately, Brandy felt as if she couldn't breathe, and unaware of what was happening, she slowly started to lose consciousness as Matthew strangled her with her own shoelaces that she had taken off earlier in the night. She was only out for a few minutes, but once she regained consciousness, with Matthew standing nearby, she tried to pretty much just pretend that she was dead by holding her breath and keeping her eyes closed as much as possible. And this is when Matthew began to beat and kick her. And at one point he kicked her so hard that she said it was like he completely knocked what wind was inside of her out of her, and her eyes just flew open like she couldn't hold it back. So he ended up picking Brandy up and trying to snap her neck, but he was unsuccessful at this. And in fact, he tried to do this numerous times before he became just completely outraged with his lack of success, and he began to throw Brandy against the railing of the bridge, like beating her against the railing of the bridge.
Beating her face?
Yeah, like her face and her whole like upper body.
Jesus Christ. So he watches too many movies, and he thought he could just snap her neck, and
pretty much.
He's just a an idiot.
I'm telling you, she endured so much this night. Like,
Jesus Christ.
It blows my mind.
Yeah. I can't fucking believe there are people out there like this.
Exactly. Like, who the fuck is he? Like, they were literally just minding their own business, enjoying their girl's night, and he comes into the picture and just fucks up their entire life.
He fucks up more than just their lives, you know? When somebody does shit like this, like, okay, let's put it into perspective while we're talking. While we're talking about it, this dickhead, because he had a whim to do this, he killed one girl.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an entire family,
right?
An entire series of friendships,
mm-hmm,
ruined.
Absolutely.
Now, if she survives, which I hope she does, because it's a survivor case and the other one died,
mm-hmm,
then she's been raped and she's been brutally beaten.
Mm-hmm.
And not only is that going to ruin her life, she's just going to be alive for it.
Yeah.
She's never going to trust anyone again. So any future relationships are going to be tainted. They're going to be awkward if they even exist.
Yeah. I mean, so trauma is horrible.
It is.
Yeah.
Like, this is, it's not affecting two people.
It's
affecting
really horrible.
Every person that those people know and ever will know.
Right.
And have known.
I mean, and the fact that he's got children of his own, like, it's just, it's a really sad incident, and he made the decision to destroy many lives with this.
And why? There's really no real reason why.
Because he's an asshole. He's just, it's disgusting. People like this, it's disgusting. When he realized he couldn't kill Brandy with his bare hands, he decided to just throw her over the bridge, throw her over the railing. But Brandy, I don't know, like, I hate to say luck, because this whole situation is horrible, but her feet got stuck in the railing. So even his attempt to throw her over after not being able to snap her neck, not being able to beat her up enough, he tries throwing her over the railing, but her feet get kind of tangled and intertwined in the fence. And finally, after freeing her, he was able to then push her off of the bridge where she hit the water head first. But because the area had recently been hit with a shit ton of rain, the river was a little elevated from flooding. So when she hit the water, she was kind of just free of all like stumps and things like that. Although she was badly beaten and bleeding, she allowed her body to kind of float face down in the water, just with her head tilted enough that her mouth and nose were up out of the water so she could breathe. And she once again pretended that she was dead. And after floating with the current, she was kind of swept under the bridge near a log that was in the water, where she was able to grab a hold of it. And, you know, this water is freezing cold at this point. It's icy, it's in the middle of the night, and she's holding on to dear life on this stump in the water. But she still wasn't necessarily free, because Matthew was still directly above her, and she could see him pacing back and forth on the bridge as she tried her hardest to stay as quiet as possible in hopes that he wouldn't realize that she had survived. Because he's still under the impression that, he had killed her when he threw her over the bridge. She was then able to finally pull herself up onto the log, and she waited until he walked off the bridge and was gone. I can imagine being in that situation, like, trying to stay as quiet as possible. And I really don't know how she was able to do that, because when you're wet and you're climbing up, I mean,
there's
maybe
a lot
with the sound
of
the water,
a lot of
rushing
water noise,
and
there's
stuff.
A lot of background noise that, like, she probably could have had a quiet conversation with herself. She felt up to it and he wouldn't have heard it over the water.
Yeah, true. So she ended up climbing back down into the water and kind of floating and swimming quietly across to the other side. And from my understanding, it's not like the river that we have here is a huge river. Like,
yeah,
there's no way that you could swim across it. But this
half a mile down the freaking river before you get to the other side.
This one was small enough that she was able to swim across to the other side. And after reaching the riverbank, she was still worried, you know, that Matthew might be close and would possibly see her. Once she made her way through the dark and up the bank, she just ran towards the highway. But because there was a local bar near where she had walked up the bank at, each car that passed her just assumed that she was a drunk patron walking back from the bar, so nobody would stop to help her.
And of course nobody would stop to help the girl that stopped to help some fucking asshole that fucking killed her friend and raped her. I mean, heaven forbid someone do her a favor.
Finally, a truck pulled over, and to Brandy's surprise, it was a police officer that had just gotten off duty. Brandy was able to give as much information about Matthew, but it wasn't until one of his family members had tipped off police that they were finally able to identify the man that was responsible for these horrible crimes. After comparing DNA and blood found on Matthew Vaca's clothes, they were able to convict him of Liz's murder, the attempted murder of Brandy, and, of course, the sexual assault. During the trial, Brandy was able to confront him for Liz's murder, and even though she is obviously such a strong person, she went a little bit further and requested that the state not seek the death penalty for him. Instead, he is now serving a life sentence in prison.
Good, because he deserves it.
Since this whole ordeal, Brandy is now married and has two little girls, and she said that she tries to spend as much time as she possibly can with them and her parents. She has went on to share her story with others that have been through similar experiences in hopes to help others heal from other traumatic experiences. And in 2008, she went on to share her story with the TV show I Survive that aired on the Biography Channel. So, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
I mean,
I'm really glad that she's living her life, you know?
Right. And she, again, was only a freaking teenager back when this happened, so it's pretty crazy. It's pretty awesome that she was able to endure everything that she did and still survive through all of this.
And make a life.
Right.
For herself.
Yeah,
you know?
And move forward. It's really terrible for Liz and her family. Her dad, her parents are very religious, and, you know, her dad talked a lot that the only thing that he can do at this point is just learn to forgive and try to move on and just try to give Matthew forgiveness, even if he doesn't deserve it, because he said that's pretty much the only way that he is going to be able to live with himself. You know, it's just a really terrible thing. So
it is.
But yeah, just wanted to do something a little bit different and give you guys a survivor story. I know it has still some terrible bits in it, but I heard her story and I was like, she is
a kick-ass
kick-ass. Yeah. All right, guys, well, this one was a short little episode.
Sure was.
Like a little mini, almost pushing it on a mini.
Really, it was kind of like a miniaturized
episode.
micro machine.
Yeah, before we head out, I want to mention Australia is getting hit with all of these horrible, horrible fires down there right now. And our friends over at True Crimeware is doing a wonderful thing where they are taking all the proceeds from their sales and donating 100% of it to help the wildlife.
That's cool.
And the people being affected. They have some bomb-ass t-shirts and some super cute coffee mugs. So if you want to head over there.
I'm going to head over there after we get done.
Yeah, check it out. I'll leave a link in the description and you guys can go help support our Australian friends right now that are being hit with this terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah. Speaking of Australians, I learned today that there is a new fashion trend in the body modification market. One Australian man traveled to Sweden to get the operation done, where he had the inner cartilage of his ear removed. Why anybody would do that is beyond me, but...
What?
Yeah.
That would hurt.
Yeah, I can only freaking imagine.
I tried to
They only do it in Sweden at the moment, apparently. But, like, it's...
Yikes.
It's this whole area right here, like, the deep cartilage right there from, like...
No, thank
your
you.
Your lobe up to the first notch dooley bobber, whatever.
That's
the
disgusting.
Heck. Yeah, it looked cool. It was like crimpied down through. It was really neat looking.
Oof.
But at the same time, it was really stupid because that kind of helps channel sound waves into your ear so you can hear stuff.
Strange.
Very strange.
Interesting.
Yeah, but go you, Mr. Australian fellow. probably taking a vacation from all that nonsense that you just mentioned.
Yeah, it's
good as ears did.
Right. So make sure to follow us on the gram of Insta. Yes.
Otherwise known as?
Instagram. We post tons of stuff there and interact with all of our listeners, and we have a good time. Yeah, we post some funny memes, and that's pretty much it. It's just some funny memes.
Yeah, there's really only so much you can do with social media.
Right. But it's always a good time.
Yeah.
It's always a good time.
I mean, you know, because we're there.
Right. If you want to become a Patreon member, you can do that as well for as little as $1, one doll hair a month.
Yes.
Just one doll hair.
Just one doll hair.
One doll hair.
I swear to Pete's, if anybody sends us a doll hair.
Well, it's electronically, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Then we don't actually have to touch the hair.
But you get our awesome stickers.
Yeah.
For just one doll hair.
That's true, yeah.
Right.
And they're pretty cool. They're definitely high quality.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well, we love you. Yes. Yes.
More than you could possibly know.
Yeah. Bye.
Peace out.
That was a Titancast episode.